You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT Houston. Next up, Technology Bites with 96% less Dwight Silverman.
Listeners should be aware that the following program contains language and audio images which may be found disturbing and may not be suitable for your snotty-nosed little brat who probably cusses like a sailor behind your back anyway. Parental discretion is advised.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of Technology Bites.
Bam, 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 bam. All right. Welcome to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
He just came online.
Oh, he just came online?
I just saw him come online.
Oh. Must be nice to just wander into the den or the living room or wherever it is he broadcasts from.
I broadcast from a dog kennel.
Were you putting the dogs away? Don't say it ain't so.
Releasing the dogs.
No, I put the dogs in a kennel, and then I put the microphone and the computer in the kennel with the
dogs.
We found a suitable replacement. All right, welcome to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
And he's...
Groovehouse.
Dwight.
Oh, wait.
No. We're going to get that 4%. Yeah, baby. All right. So, you know, we are lean, mean technology machine here in the second week of the new year, 2014.
Technology. Meet the new show. Same as the old show.
Yeah. So... visit us online at geekradio.com. That's the website where all the vital information is. You can pretty much find out everything you need to know about the show.
All the magic happens.
Well, I think that's more IRC where the magic actually happens.
That's not magic.
It's the gathering.
That's where expert deleted goes down.
So, yeah, visit us at geekradio.com. That is where we have our information about the show and stuff, and you can also hang out on IRC, which I'm about to join up right now, irc.cuckoo.com, in the channel Tech Bites. fire up your favorite IRC client. Or
I don't see Dwight on there.
Yeah, Dwight doesn't IRC. I don't even know if he... Maybe he does.
He chats on Twitter.
I don't even know if he sees.
You don't even know if he sees?
IRC. See.
Ha, 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 ha. Boy, we are so funny. Aren't we? All right. So, yeah, visit us online. IRC. Phone number a little bit later on. We'll be taking calls at 713-526-5738. If you don't know how to IRC or if you don't even see, you can go to geekradio.com and use our IRC.
So then you can RC.
I see. All right. So, wow.
Yeah, that echo is kind of messing with me. Can you hear that?
You hear an echo?
I can hear the 8-second delay.
We're broadcasting back out to the lobby.
You guys can't hear that? Do I have natural hearing?
You can't hear that?
You guys can't hear that?
It's like the Ken Nordin show.
We should turn it up in there. Mm. Jake and Carrie tune.
That's my 8-second delay laugh.
That's usually how long it takes me to Google your joke. So I get the reference and can see like I know what's going on. All right, so we'll get the radios turned down in the lobby. So turn our radio down if you're gonna broadcast.
Broadcaster, could you turn your radio down, please?
All right, so as you may or may not be aware, you know, this is the first show we're doing without Dwight Silverman here, and we're all giddy. We're just excited with the possibility of finally getting our opportunity to say something without him dominating the microphone.
You and Barrett are sitting there all sprawled out in the studio.
We are. We just we got our feet up. There's, you know,
bringing extra monitors, and
we should get bigger laptops.
Need bigger. We need like some 90s style laptops. Only in today's
technology. Some luggables.
90s style desktops like we used to use with CRTs.
Wow, 13-inch monitor.
I've got a 21-inch Sony Trinitron.
All right. Wow, I heard the echo then.
I heard that.
All right. Yeah.
Different.
What was that?
I don't know.
I turned up the volume.
I wasn't loud enough, apparently. He wanted to get some extra J in his ear. All right, so we're going to hand it over to Peter Hughes in San Antonio with a Technology Bytes info shot. Shoot it, info.
It's the Technology Bytes Info Shot. Technology news and commentary by Peter Hughes. Injected directly into your skull.
Yes, well, if you've been worrying about how long they can hold out on the space station, you know, I know there was that air conditioning thing and all that, but think about the bigger threat to the International Space Station, funding. Well, you can be happy. The International Space Station just got another lease on life. The White House has approved funding that will keep the floating lab running until at least 2024, as long as other countries also chip in. The additional funding should help both general science research as well as the human endurance studies that NASA needs for voyages to asteroids and Mars. The extension is primarily good news for those who want a long-term human presence in space. It's the second extension past the original 2015 decommissioning time frame. It's also potentially good for business, as the deal will give SpaceX and other private spaceflight companies a better chance at growing their operations by serving, you know, personnel and cargo trips to the space station. So that sounds pretty good. Plus, you know, think about it. You got to have the space station so that in every apocalyptic movie that comes down the pike from now to 2024, they can look out the window and see, you know, the ape army and the climate change and all the other stuff, you know, attacking the zombie hordes, so that that can all be observed from up there while they wonder how their next meal is going to show up. Anyways, so that's cool news. That's good science news. And it is CES time. Not siesta. That doesn't mean, not like the usual info shots where it's your time to go to sleep. CES is on, and so there actually is some news. A lot of it seems to me to be inflated, but this one is this one has been talked about before, but now, of course, they've officially announced it, so that makes it interesting. Intel didn't make a big deal of it at their press conference, but the chip giants announced that with the help of its OEM partners, the company will soon release PCs that run both Android and Windows 8.1 at the same time. They weren't the only ones with dual operating systems. AMD announced that with its partner BlueStacks, it will bring the complete Android experience to Windows-based tablets, 2-in-1s, notebooks, and desktops. So big competition there. This comes on top of HP and Lenovo's announcements that they'll be releasing out-and-out pure Android desktops for both home and business users. I have a feeling somewhere Steve Ballmer had a cold chill run down his spine. The day before all this, Asus released its Transformer Book Duet that runs both Windows 8.1 and Android 4.2.2. Talk about real competition. Wouldn't that be sad if the Windows tablet that runs 8.1 is successful because it's an Android tablet? I think that would be funny. Intel is not telling much about how they'll marry Android and Windows with dual OS. The one model that currently uses it, the Asus Transformer Book Duet, lets you jump from one operating system to the other with the press of a button. AMD has been more forthcoming. What they say is that that they've created a seamless user experience between the operating system, and that users have access to all the apps, games, communication, and content consumption they love on their Android mobile devices right at their fingertips while getting important productivity tasks or high-end PC gaming accomplished on their Windows PC. The BlueStacks, the partner for AMD, does this not by using a virtual machine per se, but by running an emulation of Android Dalvik on top of Windows, which can be slow on older systems, but on modern hardware apparently works well. Let's see. AMD claims the users won't have to run just Android apps on Windows. Instead, they'll be able to use the familiar Android user interface, including settings, configurations, and customization controls instead of using Metro. They'll also be able to run Android apps within a window or at full screen resolution, thanks to AMD Radeon graphics processing power. So it'll be interesting to see what that means. I don't know if that makes it compelling for somebody, or maybe it'll just be a nice feature to have if you have a Windows desktop at work where you can add some of the productivity stuff of Android to it, and it may make it more convenient in the office circumstance to have an Android tablet and be able to share things or access things across that with your desktop. So that could be of value. The other thing Intel was talking about at CES is they're pushing on wearable technology. They may have taken the lead in proposing where wearables are headed next. Chief Executive Brian Krzanich didn't announce any actual products, but he did introduce a number of proof-of-concept devices designed by Intel that represent where Intel is targeting some of its new technology. According to VentureBeat, one of these technologies is Intel's new Quark microprocessor, which is targeted at low-cost, low-power applications. An example of its use was Intel designed wearable devices including smart earbuds with biometric fitness capabilities, an always-on headset that integrates with existing personal assistant technologies, and a smart wireless charging bowl. Wasn't that cool? So now you can slam dunk your phone in the wireless charging bowl. You know, the 70s had key parties, and now you can, like, throw your phones in a bowl or something. The personal assistant part of that is what Intel is calling Jarvis, a likely reference to the Marvel Comics computer AI butler that assists Tony Stark in the Avengers. Jarvis would be a Siri-like assistant that would help you control and receive information from wearable devices. They also showed off Intel Edison, a new Intel Quark-based computer housed in an SD card, which has as much computing power as Intel's old Pentium microprocessors. That's expected to be available in mid-2014. Examples of Edison's possibilities from Krzanich. Edison could be built into a baby's onesie. It detects if the temperature of the baby's onesie gets too hot. You could get notifications on your coffee cup which has a green indicator or a red indicator that tells you if you need to do something for your baby. With Edison, the opportunities are endless. That one, I don't know. That doesn't sound like one of those ideas that Apple's going to like steal and do better. But the idea that you have Pentium computer power on something the size of an SD card, though, and that it is small and portable enough to be in clothing or a cup, integrated into a cup, does mean, you know, sort of smart objects and your smarter home, smart devices get a lot more plausible. Because you don't have to do, if it only has to do a few things, Pentium power is enough. I mean, we did actually get stuff done with Pentiums back in the day. And, you know, the horsepower should only go up. And presumably the energy usage is very low. So that one's kind of cool. And that certainly opens up. You know, remember when we were excited when they could shrink a computer down to where it was the size of, oh, say, a Mac Mini? Well, now we're talking about it shrinking down to the size of an SD card. And I don't think they're done. In other news, you know, what's one of the big new things? Of course, since the Mac Pro is out, and you know, the rumble keeps getting louder about it. 4K displays, that seems to be a big place. You know, Retina is one thing, but 4K is a whole nother world. The you know, so it's CES, and of course, now we've got some new ones that have been announced, and the cool part is they're announcing new 4K displays, and they're announcing new lower prices, which makes this move a lot faster. Excuse me. Lenovo debuted its 28-inch 4K display aimed at professionals, you know, professional, excuse me again, with a 3840 by 2160 resolution. And that should be available this April for around $800. Asus has one, same size, 28-inch. You know, presumably, you know, you wonder, do they get these from the same providers? Because everybody's announcing 28-inch 4K displays. But at $800, Asus has one that should be available in the second half of the year. Seiki confirmed to Mac Rumors that it will announce a new 28-inch 4K display tomorrow, but it'll be more of a budget option, as right now the company has a 39-inch 4K television available for $500, which, you know, that's their 39-inch. So if you go down to the smaller size, presumably the price will be lower. LG previously announced a 4K display, which is a 31-inch, and it's wider than most of the other options. It uses a 19:10 ratio widescreen panel at 4096 by 2160, where most other 4K displays use a 16:9 ratio. LG is also going to offer a 34-inch and 29-inch option with much wider 21:9 screens at lower non-4K resolutions, so they'll be bigger. The thing I wonder about is a 4K television. You know, so with 3840 by 2160, a bigger monitor, you know, say a 39-inch like that Seiki, seems like that would be useful with your computer. You might want to sit a little bit farther back, but the resolution would be such that you could certainly read it and use it. I don't know. I haven't seen anybody do that yet, and I certainly look forward to seeing when somebody has the coin to set up maybe a 4K TV and have that be driven off their computer and report back to the rest of us. Or I can win the lottery and then we can do that. Dell announced their 4K 20-inch display, which was not in the other article. But all they would say that it's going to be under $1,000, which, you know, given that those other ones were, They only said it was under $1,000, but now they have given us some more information, and it's going to be out in January at the end of this month with an even lower price of $699. So Dell is out here to compete in the 4K monitor, in the monitor area. It's like the other ones I mentioned, a 28-inch 4K monitor. They say that they haven't given any details like refresh rate or range of inputs, but they do promise the same screen performance as their current UltraSharp 32 and UltraSharp 24 Ultra HD monitors, which is encouraging since that's their cut above professional displays. The monitor will even include the ability to pivot to portrait mode, as well as a range of adjustable viewing heights and angles. And they'll have accessories like a stereo sound bar and monitor arm. So that could be a very useful, high-end, high-resolution monitor. And so this is perfect timing with the, from an Apple standpoint, because obviously you've got the Mac Pro desktop, which can crank three of these 4K displays at one time, and the Retina MacBook Pro can drive a 4K display, because the new one can, because the Thunderbolt 2 standard can handle the throughput. So far Apple's not offering its own 4K monitor. Certainly the rumorverse says that's going to be coming soon. And finally, final story. For those of you who are really, really into full color 3D printing, there's a company called 3D Systems, and they have a new product called the CubeJet full color 3D printer. It's small enough to put on your desktop and costs less than $5,000. Now, I know, there's not a bunch of presumably aren't tons of listeners to this show roaming around with $5,000 in their pocket to throw down on this, but that price range for that kind of 3D printing is pretty major progress. It's one of those things. It's just like TVs, the 4K TVs. You start out with the ones that are $20,000 for the new thing, LCD, LED TVs, and then eventually you end up with something that's consumer priced and available for anybody's desk. This is a big step in the right direction. They're showing it at CES, and it does color. It's designed for small businesses, entrepreneurs, and hobbyists. It's expected to begin shipping later this year, but the demos are going on right now at CES. This one is different. Unlike most of 3D Systems devices, which use the extrusion technology found in most printers of the same consumer category, CubeJet was designed by tapping into the company's industrial roots and creating an affordable machine able to produce high-resolution prints. It's predicted that CubeJet will appeal to small businesses in need for rapid prototyping and those eager to experiment with 3D printing at an affordable price. I'm Peter Hughes, and that's the InfoShot news.
Yeah, baby. Surprise ending.
Was it? I said that it was the last
story. No, we're all scrambling. Everybody's scrambling to put on their headphones. Fortunately, I had
on. What? Am I late? Huh?
Huh?
Just 8 seconds late.
1, 2, 3. All right. So the phone number, if you'd like to dial in, is 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT. Groove House is standing by to take your calls, get you screened, and put you in the queue. I know that the holidays are over and people are, pretty much got all their decorations put away and are ready to get on with things. So let's have a good show here in 2014. What were you about to say, Flick?
I was going to say, all those people that might be in the past scared to call in because Dwight might, flip out on them. Now would be a good time to call.
That guy in his vein.
He's just really short with people sometimes. I didn't want to say that in front of him when he's, when he was here, but now that he's gone.
Yeah.
Oh, easily angered.
Just a second. That's not Dwight.
Oh.
Oh.
Never mind.
Yeah. So 713-526-5738. Anybody did you get?
I was the Geek Gathering.
Oh, right? Yeah. Good question.
I have been planning, I didn't want to say in advance because I wasn't feeling well.
And you would have disappointed us because you didn't actually
right.
come.
But. So this way I didn't disappoint you, but I had wanted to show up for Dwight's last show, but that would have been a waste. I would have spent most of the time standing outside the studio hacking and coughing. Mm-hmm. And same thing for the Geek Gathering. So one of these weeks you're going to see me in person. But
really? Who are you?
When I can get through an info shot without having to apologize for coughing on the...
Whenever you come down, we should go to one of the those key parties you're talking about. I heard that those go on still. Like where you get your PGP key signed.
First, we got to get charging bowls. Wireless charging bowls.
references. Yeah, well, you do need to come down. I guess we're going to be plunging into another anniversary here in the next 5 or 6 months. Seems like it should be closer.
It's like they come every year. It's weird.
You can't turn around without hitting an anniversary. 713-526-KPFT if you want to be on the air. Is anything happening in the IRC right now? A little quiet. But the Geek Gathering was good, since you asked. It was cold, and Cone has a fire going. He's got a he's got this...
Homeless barrel out front.
That would be kind of cool, but this is actually like it's a metal bird bath. Mm-hmm. And he gets some nice wood that smells like barbecue going in there. And, you know, different people come by and cut up wood and stick it in the fire or kind of stoke the fire and keep it going. And
it's always fun, like wood axe, you know, axe and wood cutting in the parking lot.
Yeah, that's some high tech.
No one got
there.
Hurt. That's awesome.
So far, nobody's been burned to death or cut, chopped in half with an axe.
We had a band, too, at the end. Same band that we had last
week. No, we don't think it was.
Yeah, it was the same guys. It started out, it was an older couple, I think, when you were there.
Yeah.
And then they somehow knew the other guys. Maybe they were related or maybe they were friends. And then they handed it off, and it was the same band that Flick and I stuck around for. Same guys.
Yeah, those rockabilly and hillbilly bands are all related, I think.
When it's cold like that, we need to get a food truck to come out and sell skewers of raw meat. And then you can cook it yourself.
Kind of like a hibachi thing, you know, a Mongolian grill. What is that noise in the background? It sounds like a...
Airplane? It's Pete.
Is that Pete?
Pete's doing the news from 20,000 feet.
I see.
It's the fans on his computer.
From the Death Star.
All right, 713-526-573. The phones are very quiet tonight.
It was like a what? It was like a rabid Darth Vader dog.
We're going to have to put him down.
You just did.
So what's the process? When someone calls in, phone rings a few times.
Right.
Groovehouse usually picks up, and then...
Groovehouse... rolls his eyes.
Okay, Groose rolls his eyes.
takes his headphones off.
I do not roll my eyes.
He rolls just rolls. Where did you get your credit card number?
He just rolls one eye.
Do not give Groovehouse any financial information. Only give it to
us. Just verify the last 8 digits of your social security number.
Then you explain your brief problem to him. And then he doesn't solve your problems necessarily right
now.
He just kind of,
and I will not,
jots down.
Unless it's about, you know, if you want to, you know, if
you have station business,
if you have airing of grievances, then that's pretty much what
your 3-minute diatribe will wind up as, like, quote, spyware, unquote. I mean, you know, the majority of it you need to tell to us. Then what happens is then you get put through to us, you know, we'll ask you what your question is. You tell us. Jay will give you an answer. You don't listen to Jay at all.
Or let him
He
speak.
Likes that. He loves that, yeah.
Talk over him.
Talk over him. Yeah. That works, too.
Yeah, so it's a pretty painless...
Yeah, don't talk over Jay.
Yeah, don't actually do that. That was...
Oh, well, see, now with Dwight gone, I'm bearing the brunt. And carrying the weight. You know, it's not like, you know, our most talkative guy left. Only our second most talkative guy left. So I've got all the quiet kids left here.
There you go. All the introverts are all in studio.
That's right. Groovehouse chuckles to himself knowingly.
The other thing,
as he rolls his eyes and takes off his headphones to get this call.
The other way Groovehouse helps us is I've been binge watching the IT Crowd.
Ah,
I don't know if you guys have seen those, but
yeah, I've seen a few of them.
They are brilliant. They are. It's on Netflix right now, and one of the running gags that gives nothing away is they always, the first answer when they answer the phone for tech support is, have you restarted it?
Yep.
Have you shut it down and restarted it? And see, Groovehouse can do that, and that's why you never hear us recommend that on the air.
Ah, I see. He's the first. He's level one tech support.
Yeah, we're level three. By the time they get to us, they've rebooted two times. We hung up on them four times, and they've been on hold for at least an hour.
All right. Looks like we got two calls on the line. We've got plenty of open lines at 713-526-5738. We're going to go to Groovehouse.
Yes.
And he's going to roll his eyes and tell us who's up first.
First on the show, it's going to be Perry.
Hi, Perry. You're on the air with Technology Bites. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good. What can we do for you?
Love the show. Love the station. I live in the neighborhood. I make a small contribution monthly.
Well, good for you. We appreciate it.
I think it's really important. One of the most important stations in the city, and very important for the public good.
We agree.
Okay. All that being said, I need to, I've got an XP machine.
Okay.
I love it. I love XP. I don't want to have to upgrade, but I hear I need to.
You don't necessarily need to, but if you're going to buy a new computer, chances are it's going to come with a new one.
Yeah. So, how much longer can I use XP and it be a safe thing to do that?
Well, you can keep using it for as long as you like. I mean, there are vulnerabilities in every operating system. As long as you back up your data and you're careful, you can use XP probably for another many years.
At some point it's going to become so fringe and so unused that most people won't be bothering to try to hack it anymore.
Well, it'll get more secure.
Yeah, well, the thing that's going to happen, though, over time is that, there'll be fewer and fewer things that work for the technology. So websites, as that technology continues to evolve, you may have a limited experience with that. But for right now, I'm in my office space, I've still got a handful of users that have to use XP because of some legacy software, and they're still humming along just fine.
Yeah, okay. Well, I still have Office 2003, and everything on my machine works good enough for me.
Well, if it's working, that's fine. But you will, the problem with, kind of not rolling with the changes is that it'll become more difficult for you as time goes by to get a new computer because it will be so dramatically different. So you haven't had any experience with Windows Vista or Windows 7, and obviously none with Windows 8, which is Windows 8 is so different from XP, it's frightening to people.
You'll also run, at some point, you'll run into the Microsoft 1-2 punch, which is you either have to upgrade your operating system to run a piece of software that you need, like Jay mentioned, or you'll start getting Word documents. If you get Word documents from other people, if you have any reason where that's coming, at some point they'll be in a format that you can't read on yours,
right,
and people get tired of saving it down to your format, and you'll have to get something that can open them.
Okay, well, I still probably need to get a new machine here pretty soon because I max the memory out at 2 gigs, and so it doesn't do very well on video.
That's pretty painful. Yeah,
yeah. I can't open.
Go ahead. A new computer with Windows 8 on it is not it's not a bad thing. It's actually really kind of nice once you kind of get your brain around it. And what's really nice about the way things are going these days with technology is that if you get a new computer, if you could just get to the web, you can find an answer.
Yeah.
So if you're using the computer and you go, how do I install a program in Windows 8? Or how do I do this in Windows 8? If you type that into Google, you'll find somebody that says, if you're interested, here's how you do blah, blah, blah in Windows 8. Click here, click there, and off you go. So you're not really stranded or kind of floundering too hard when you're trying to get up to speed on a new OS. And some people find it actually exhilarating and fun to do.
Yeah. I don't want to take too much more time than I should, but what should I pay for? Would this be a good direction to go, like something with 8 gigs and maybe an SSD in it and 1 terabyte and
Well, you're not going to find an SSD 1 terabyte for very cheap.
No, I mean just an SSD and then a 1 terabyte hard drive.
Well, if you wanted to do that, that's a good option. It'll be a nice, fast machine for you. It's not required. I would say 8 gigs is the minimum amount of RAM that I would buy with in a computer, so I'd have plenty of RAM, and I would go with at least an 500 to 800 gig hard drive. But if you're looking, a lot of the ones that you're finding right now, you can find them with a terabyte. You can find them with an SSD as the boot drive and a terabyte hard drive for storage. But the SSD is not as important, but if you are looking for that truly screaming fast performance experience, you know, max out the RAM, get an SSD drive, and get a big fat hard drive, and so you don't have to worry about running out of space.
Your head's going to spin, though, going from, you know, 2 gigs on XP to a machine like that with SSD. I mean, really.
You're going to have, that's when you make that kind of upgrade, it is real exciting because you're going to click on stuff and it's just going to be so fast and so responsive that you're going to wonder why you waited.
I want to stream all the videos.
It wouldn't hurt at all for me to get some excitement in my life.
Well, there you go. That's what KPFT does for you, is brings you that level of excitement, encourages you to indulge yourself.
So what should I spend without a monitor for a new?
Well, what you're talking about is going to be pretty expensive. I don't know what the exact price is going to be, but you're probably talking on the order of about $1,000 or more.
Okay.
Did you buy your XP machine like from a big vendor, or did you put it together yourself, or did you get it from a local store?
I got it from Dell, but I've since put a new hard drive in it, and you know, went up to 2 gigs of RAM.
Yeah, I mean, when you're talking about a fusion drive or a combo set where you're using SSD and a SATA hard drive, you're going to be paying a premium for that.
Yeah.
But if you're going from a 2 gig XP machine, if money's an issue, I always say this, it's like whatever the base computer you buy right now is literally going to run circles around what you have.
Yeah, you could probably spend $250 or $300 without monitor and get a pretty nice machine that's going to be a lot better performance than what you have.
Right.
It's not going to be what you're describing with SSD and probably not 8 gig of memory, but 4 gig and, you know, like a regular hard drive that's 300 to 700 gig or something probably.
Computer prices in general have come down quite a bit, though. Like the top-of-the-line machine 8 years ago was quite a bit more expensive than a top-of-the-line machine now, for the most part. So you'd be surprised how much you can get for your money these days.
But if you're going kind of for that bleeding edge, you know, really maxing out the storage, getting the SSD drive combination going there, you're going to pay a premium for that. So you're probably looking at on the order of $800 to $1,200. But if you're looking to, if you skip the SSD, which, you know, I think SSD is kind of it's a nice thing to have, but not necessary at this point. Yeah. You could save a significant amount of money by, you know, instead of spending the money on the SSD, spend the money on the RAM and spend the money on getting a decent monitor.
SSD, yeah, nothing prevents you from swapping that out later.
Boot faster, or does it actually help it?
It does both. If you have the operating system loaded on the SSD, it's going to, the whole system is going to fire up faster. And anything where if you have an application installed on the SSD drive, you're making a request for a file on the SSD, it's faster.
Yeah. But you could always, you know, whatever machine you get, you could always add SSD to it afterwards.
That's
seen
true.
Drives on sale for, you know, like even like $100 now. They might only be like 128 gigs. But if you just put the OS on there and just put a couple of the programs you want to load quickly on there and then keep all your data on that bigger, you know, larger drive, you should be okay.
Yeah, you could certainly buy, you know, a computer without SSD and add that later if you wanted to, and probably for a little bit less money, especially as prices continue to come down.
Mm-hmm. Any particular brands or one that I should look at that's going to be easy to upgrade like that?
No, I don't have any brand recommendations for you. Most desktop computers are going to be relatively easy to expand or to add on to. The only thing to watch out for is if you buy a small form factor that has a low profile, it might be harder to add stuff to. But if you get a standard size computer, then you're going to have plenty. It's going to be plenty easy. They've made them these days. They're real easy to just pop open. Usually it's like a screw or two screws.
They're super modular. Yeah, they're
and
easy.
Even some of the nicer Dells have like this like handle. You just pull this handle and the side falls off.
That's the way mine does now.
Yeah. So you have access to be able to install stuff. And if you're comfortable doing it, you can even go with building it yourself. But, you know, maybe installing a new operating system might be a little bit challenging, get all the drivers and everything working. But all your name brands are good. If you've had good experience with Dell, then you might want to keep going with Dell. But Dell, HP, even Gateway and Sony are making good products. But I never give really consumer advice.
Yeah.
Because you could go and buy a Dell, and you go buy a Dell and have the worst experience of your life.
Right.
It's just, there's no telling. Every brand makes good and bad products.
Right, right.
So read the reviews. You know, if you see something that you like and it's in the price range you like, you know, go online and read the reviews and see what people are experiencing with that particular run of computers. All right?
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Have a good evening.
You too. All right. I need to say thanks to some people, by the way, that pledged during the Quiet campaign. Jerry, who pledged some money to us during the Quiet campaign from Parlin, Texas. Jerry, we appreciate that pledge of support. And also need to thank Vitus, who's from Houston. We need to thank David out in Nassau Bay, who made a pledge via the web. He says he could never have too much cowbell, and you could never have too much Jim Hightower, apparently. So that's cool. All right, so thanks to those
people.
I hope he
wasn't wanting to have too much Dwight.
That's cowbell.
That's cowbell.
That's cowbell.
There you go.
Dwight's cowbell.
Dwight's cowbell.
It's me.
All right, Groovehouse has been hard at work rolling his eyes and sighing.
I don't roll my eyes.
Groovehouse gets a warm fuzzy every time the phone rings.
Yes.
All right, Groovehouse.
Yes.
Who do we have up?
Up next on the show, we are going to speak with Charlie.
Charlie, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hi there.
Hi.
We haven't been listening to the previous part of the show except the tail end of XP, so this might be a little off topic, but tell me if it is. Have you been following CES much?
Yeah, as much as I can. You know, there's a lot of stuff coming out that it's really kind of boring this year, but I've been reading some of it. What do you got?
Well, let me suggest that you point out a new product called Mother, M-O-T-H-E-R. It's a smart home controller.
It's a
central unit that's used for the control and stuff. And then they have what they call cookies, which are special sensors that are little tiny plastic things that have different types of sensors like weight and temperature and motion and all this other kind of stuff. It's just a beautiful, beautiful system. It's fairly inexpensive. By that, I mean for home automation, it's like a little bit over $100, I think, to get started. And just the whole idea of Mother as being the controller and cookies as being the sensors. And when you look on their website, it's really fun the way they do things and say, how would you like to program your mother? And anyway, I just thought it was really, have some very interesting examples of where you put the sensors. So they suggest, for example, putting a sensor on the toothbrush for the motion, and then you have a competition in your family and have everybody has their toothbrush has motion sensors, so you can measure how much people brush their teeth or don't. And you could set up a family contest to find out who brushes their teeth the most or something like that. Anyway, it's just got some really cute use cases, and I thought the hardware was really cool and the whole idea was pretty cool, and that was one of my favorite things that came out of CES. Do you want to see that, or can you find it on the web while I was trying
to find it right now, and I'm seeing Cincy announces Wi-Fi enabled mother mod. I'm seeing a lot of announcements about it. Does it actually?
Okay, look up.
I see it.
I believe it's called. I think it's called iSmart Home.
It's SEN.SE.
SEN.SE. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And it looks like.
Go there and look at the website. It's really great the way they did it and the things they've got on there.
Okay, it's like it's a scary Chumby replacement thing with. It's a.
Yeah, it's not. It isn't fluffy, but yeah.
No, it's yeah, but it's this odd little. Oh God, it's got a, like a emoticon face.
Oh, yeah. Is that actually what it looks
That's
like?
That's actually what it looks like, yeah. So
I was
that, yeah.
looking at the cookies.
So it looks like a bowling pin, but it's like a Weeble.
With the Japanese kind of
it's got
emoticon.
The face is two blue dots for eyes and a pink smile. So it has an emoticon feel to it. And then the cookies are these little tabs, I guess, that you can place around it. That looks real interesting. I'm kind of afraid of it.
So they want you to swallow the blue pill.
You can follow the blue pill. Well, I was wondering, do you guys ever cover smart home stuff in some of your shows? I don't get to catch you very often because I rode this time.
We talked about it some, but it hasn't been a huge topic.
Okay. Well, I just thought I'd throw this one out as an interesting thing out of CES. It's one of the more interesting things that I found and one of the more amusing marketing things, particularly the idea of mothers and cookies. And anyway.
Yeah, no, this is Rise of the Machines beta right here.
Come to the robot side.
Yeah, absolutely. You got that right.
Well, appreciate you drawing our attention to it. I hadn't seen it yet. Oh, my God.
When I tuned in, you said there weren't enough calls, so I thought I'd just throw it in and go up some airtime, whatever. Okay.
All right, appreciate it. Have a good night. Thanks.
Thanks. Bye. Bye, Claire. Keep up the good work.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Until he put in that last part, I was going to accuse him of being at CES. It sounded like the dull roar of CES behind him. So I've heard a lot about just guerrilla marketers this year just trying to get the word out, startups trying to get the word out, doing whatever they can because they're being overshadowed by, all the large companies on the CES floor. So people are pitching in the parking lot. People are, calling radio shows. They're just going all out this year.
Extra points to whoever the first kid is who says to this thing, "You're not my real mother."
I didn't ask to be programmed.
Kill.
I was gonna say, I'll wait for the adult version to come out.
Well, the website just goes on forever. Yeah, that's kind of frightening, mother. Knows everything.
Looks slow. Like if you opened it up, there'd be a smaller mother inside.
It looks like one of those nesting dolls. Yeah. Like, that would be kind of frightening. How do you get to the batteries? Oh, my God, there's another one inside of here. All right, 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with Technology Bytes. 713-526-KPFT.
It's actually got a tiny beating flesh heart.
It's actually a reshaped, it's a re-engineered Dalek.
All I could afford with this was the stepmother.
No, I just it probably have like an old chumby burned out in a chair. Yes, mother. All right, Groovehouse.
Yes.
Who do we have up next?
Up next on the show, we are going to speak with Abdul.
Abdul, you're on the air with Technology Bytes.
Hey, how's it going, Technology Bytes? Guys, got a quirky little theme I love. My wife asked me, what is that we're listening to? I said, I don't know, it's maybe ending of the show or beginning of the show. But I ran across a YouTube channel this week that I really enjoyed and called Vsauce. Maybe you guys have been knowing about it for a long time. V is like barbecue sauce. And they've got 1, 2, and 3 and a lot of like quick scientific 5-minute videos that just whirlwind through topics. And then the later ones are blow your mind with fast pace, telling you new technologies that's coming out and everything. So I want to ask you guys, technology savants and things like that, what are your favorite YouTube channels that somebody has put a channel together that has some really worth watching fun content? That one question. The second one was, what did you think of Michael Bay, melting down out of CES?
Incredible.
That kind of shows, can't do it on the fly. And yeah. Lastly, you mentioned a Netflix show that you've been binging on that I didn't catch the name of the show.
Well, Pete was talking about the IT Crowd.
Okay. Yeah, it's a British show.
Which was from maybe 6 or 7 more years ago.
Yeah, it's kind of
It's a British show about a help desk at a company.
I think they only had 2 seasons.
No, they did. They came back and did more, maybe.
There's like 4, but the seasons are not that many episodes.
Oh, so maybe I haven't watched all of them.
If you've ever heard of Father Ted and watched that and liked it, it's from the same people, the same creator from Father Ted.
The one thing I really liked about it at the time was that they had gotten somebody on staff, or either that or they had gone around finding the appropriate news groups or forums or something to ask people, and people had sent them a lot of tech stuff. So, like, the clothes they wore, stickers they had on their desks, like, stuff like that. There was a lot of, like, actual real, like, IT culture stuff going on. Like, there was references to, you know, open source software and GNU and
EFF.
All kinds of stuff. Yeah, EFF stuff. There was like, ThinkGeek stickers and stuff showed up there.
Yeah, but it's apparently it's all available on Netflix right now, so you can get you can see all the episodes of it if you subscribe to the streaming.
Yeah, I do. So I definitely look at the last episodes of Breaking Bad aren't under there yet.
Well, it'll give you something to watch while you wait. But in terms of Michael Bay's meltdown, I was more overwhelmed by Dennis Rodman's meltdown. I thought that was pretty interesting. Did you see him singing Happy Birthday to the dictator today?
Wow.
Yeah, baby. And, you know, I have not gotten in. The only YouTube I watch is Maru, the cat. So, I mean, I don't have a channel or anything like that I subscribe to. What about you guys? You watch anything?
I don't actually have any channels I subscribe to.
I watch Boxing really? 14 and Lonely Girl 15.
I have watched quite a few episodes of FPS Russia because he's kind of interesting.
That's actually pretty good. If you've never seen this, we won't destroy it for you, but it's a guy that, Russian guy, maybe.
No, he's not.
I know, that's kind of half the fun. That gets large guns and artillery and all kinds of stuff and just goes out and in a Russian accent and with some heavy shtick shoots things and blows things up. It's kind of awesome.
Yeah, there's some awesome weaponry. FPS Russia,
like
first person
shooter.
Yeah.
Okay, FPS Russia. All right. I mean, that surprised me. You guys don't that all the channels that are out there, people presenting, you know, self-made content. But I've said the Vsauce one because it's pretty savvy, good, you know, intro. Same content over and plenty of content there and just, you know, enjoyable little snippets of technology.
Yeah, see, I tend to Google search or YouTube search for specific things. I tend to not
There are a couple of video blogs channels. I watch. Like, there's EEV blog that probably people may or may not be interested in. It's like an electronic engineering video blog. It's a guy out of Australia that does, like, breakdowns and electrical engineers. He went on an awesome tirade about assembly programmers.
Yeah, I'm like flicked. I tend to like look for content depending on what I'm interested in at the time. So it might be YouTube, it might be Vimeo, it might be some other locally produced something somewhere. One of the ones that I've enjoyed watching on occasion is there's a couple of guys that I can't remember the name of it, but they do stuff with a super slow motion camera. So they film slow motion. So like
it's the water balloon hitting someone in the face.
Yeah, well, one of the videos they took an AK-47 into a swimming pool and shot it, and they were able to get the cavitation of the bullet and it went through the water. So it's just kind of fascinating. So it's a rabbit hole. It depends on what you're interested in.
I mean, the cool thing now is before, you know, especially with video content, there wasn't that much. And the stuff that was out there wasn't really well produced. It was more like, hey, this is my video, you know, with really poor light, bad sound, no real editing. And it's really tough to stay on top of everything because there's a lot of good, you know, I would say high production level content coming out now pretty much on anything you want to watch, so it's really kind of hard to stay up, and it's even harder to find like good quality video, because if you go out on the social media stuff, it's mostly just like, hey, this is cute, or this is funny, or watch this stupid thing. It's kind of hard to find really good quality stuff. That's why I go to Google Plus.
This weekend I stumbled across a channel that has collected most of the big viral videos of the past, I don't know, 10 years in one place, which I stumbled across it because I was looking for Trololo to hear it again, and if you search that on YouTube, you'll find this channel because it's like one of the places that has the original video, and they have, you know, Keyboard Cat and all the past ones, and it actually is kind of amusing because it goes from one to the other. Peanut Butter Jelly Time.
If you can't sense a theme here, we're more into being entertained than educated.
I see.
So, yeah.
Although TED Talks are kind
of some of the TED Talks are really nice.
Yeah, are you familiar with? Have you heard of the TED Talk series?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, TED. When I first heard it, I was like, oh man, that's what I mean. That's why I was asking that question to see, you know, is there something that I'm missing that is just as good as this channel I ran across? I'd like to find one of those every day if I could. That was
Go look for Unemployed Skeletor. Do they have a? It's from the era back when everything was really poorly produced and really badly done. But at the same time, sometimes he was really funny.
And what about your theme song? Is that's something I'm missing? Maybe it's an inside joke or is that?
Well, are you familiar with a band called Weezer?
Yeah, I've heard of Weezer. Yeah, I've heard from the 90s. Yeah,
the song Buddy Holly.
Okay,
it's
Weezer, Buddy Holly.
It's Weezer's Buddy Holly performed on Moog synthesizers
from the 80s. Kind of aren't they? Are Moog
from the 70s.
Moog synthesizers are from 60s. The 60s and 70s. But the song Buddy Holly was from the 90s. In fact, one of the first music videos anybody ever got to see in digital form was the song by Weezer called Buddy Holly. It was included with Windows 95. Hmm. And it was a real clever video where they had the band Weezer doing the song, and they
Happy Days, right?
Interspliced it with Happy Days, so it looked like they were playing on the stage at Al's Diner, or where.
It's a good video.
It's a really awesome video, we found that song, Buddy Holly, performed on analog synthesizers. It sounded very much kind of like 8-bit, sort of. You know, had that old analog synthesizer sound, and so that became our theme song.
Who actually found that? I don't know that.
Bruce did. Bruce Runnels.
Okay.
Yeah, and so we've been on the air about 18 years now, and that's been our theme song from very early on.
You guys hit it right on the head. It definitely iconic, and you know that Technology Bites time. You know,
yeah.
I'm happy to get in the car today and it be right on. That's I know what show that is. Hey, you guys are great. I love the energy up there at KPFC. Keep on doing what you guys are doing, man.
All right, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. All right, bye. There was, now I can't remember what it was called. There was a YouTube channel. It was, I thought it was called General Issue Joe, but it was a handful of stop motion things done with 60s era G.I. Joes, and it was just hilarious. And now I can't find it. Now I want to find it. It's become my primary mission. So, all right. Well, that music tells us that we are coming up to the time where we need to do a little station break. So we're going to do some station break business, which only takes a couple of minutes, and then we have a whole another hour of Technology Bites.
If you're on hold, hang tight.
Yeah. So Barry and Seamus, please hang on. We'll get to you here shortly after the break. And if you want to call and get in the queue, now is the time you could do that. 713-526-5738. Do we have a BT tonight?
Not really.
No,
I'm sorry, guys. I came straight from work. But we can make some guesses on some stuff if you want to when we come back.
So many excuses.
Yeah.
So little content. Creephouse just rolled his eyes. All right. Well, you're listening to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
And he's...
Groovehouse.
We'll be back after these messages.
Happy 2014, and welcome to all those New Year's resolutions. As you wonder what to make of the new year, maybe contributing more to your community is your goal. Perhaps it's giving to things that you care about. Your support allows us to explore the world and the people who live in it in ways we never could without KPFT. Public broadcasting is the most trusted media institution in the nation, and it's a fact that you simply can't get any alternative media outlet like KPFT anywhere else on the radio dial. So make good on those New Year's resolutions with a contribution at kpft.org. Thanks. This is KPFT Houston.
Picture yourself driving home listening to a great story or a song or a discussion. Suddenly, you find yourself parked, but rather than turn the radio off, you stay in your car to hear what you're listening to the end.
That's called a driveway moment.
A driveway moment?
Yes, it's that moment that you just can't get out of the car because what you're hearing is just that good.
Then hey, what better place to support KPFT?
KPFT features music, news, and talk that is so compelling people will do anything to hear the end of it. If you're in your car right now and have your cell phone with you, as soon as you pull in, give a call to our membership department at 713-526-4000, extension 314.
Give me that number again.
713-526-4000, extension 314. Speak to our membership department and become a member.
Your pledge of support helps keep this valuable resource on the air. This is listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT, Houston.
And now back to Dwight Free Technology Bites.
94% or so. All right, we're back, and we got another hour of programming available for you here, so we hope you'll stick around. If you do want to call in and be on the air with us, the number is 713-526-5738. We are taking computer calls, questions, talking about our YouTubes and stuff. Let's see. Caller comment. Happy New Year from Mark. Been listening to the show for 15 years. Thanks, Mark. And another caller called in to say that they love the IT crowd. Elizabeth, the KPFT station member.
I was going to say, if you like the IT crowd, and one of the guys from the IT crowd, which is, I don't know, he's black or Islander or
he's
whatever.
Scottish.
He's very dark skin,
yeah,
though. But
they're talking about the other guy, Moss. You're talking about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I guess, yeah. He, I forget his real name. His last name's kind of odd, like Abadayo or something. Anyway,
Richard is his first name.
Yeah, it's his last name.
Ayuade?
Something. Yeah. Anyway, he's if you go on YouTube and you search, you can find videos of him on like British TV shows, like. That where they ask questions about pop culture from different eras and stuff or whatever. And he's really funny. He's got a really sharp sense of humor. But he's actually directed and maybe written the scripts. I think he wrote and directed the first movie. It's called Submarine, which if you're a fan of Wes Anderson or that kind of style of movie, maybe like Rushmore era Wes Anderson, it's actually a really good film. I just watched it. But he's got a new movie coming out here pretty soon. And this is the reason that I connected it all back. Because he's got a new movie coming out that's based on a short story by Dostoevsky. About a guy who has another person who looks just like him that's ruining his life. Because people keep mistaking them for each other. Anyway, just if you like the IT crowd, if you like him, that's kind of some interesting connections.
Awesome.
Give the IT crowd a chance too. I came to it thinking, okay, this is going to be awesome, and I really wanted to like it. It wasn't super heavy on tech at first. You kind of have to pay attention. And I watched an episode or two, and then just gave it a while. Like I went away for it, for like maybe a year, and then kind of got back into it. Then I was like, wow, this really is good. Once you kind of get into
black metal guy shows up.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. The goth guy. Yeah. So, and then same thing, the first one I first got into, there were just two seasons available, I think is what it was.
I think I only watched the two seasons.
Yeah, there were more seasons out there, but I think the deal that they cut with the streaming services here in the U.S. was originally just for the first couple of seasons. Okay. And now that it did well, I think they brought the rest over.
So now maybe I've got something to go watch.
All right. 713-526-5738. If you want to be on the air, but we do have two calls in the queue that we owe them some airtime, but you might want to get in the queue and be after them. 713-526-KPFT Groovehouse.
Mm-hmm.
Who's up next?
Up next on the show, we are going to speak with Barry.
Barry, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. So I've got a pretty technical question. I've got a Mac that I built several years ago. Based on a guide I'd found online, and it's been working pretty well. But here recently, I don't know if I've been overlooking it or what, but I've got sort of a kernel panic going
on,
I think.
So by Mac you built, you mean a Hackintosh, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I don't want to toot my own horn. I use a thing called Cakewalk with a K, K-A-K-E walk.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've got a website now, cakewalk.se, if you guys want to look that up. But they basically provide a full solution for you to build your own Hackintosh. And they provide the software and give you recommendations for hardware to throw together that's tested to work. So it's a really simple solution. I didn't have to go through and, you know, do a ton of grunt work to get it done. So that's working for me, but I've got a Core i7 processor that's sitting in here, and I've got one process called kernel_task that's using like 95% of my CPU cores and taking up about 400 megabytes of memory. I've been looking online to try to diagnose it. I do a lot of this stuff myself, and nothing I've tried has kind of done anything. I didn't know if maybe you guys had heard of something like this before, or if you're that familiar with Mac.
We're familiar with Mac, but you're not really talking about a Mac.
However, Peter, he's the Hackintosh guy.
He's the Hackintosh guy.
I haven't been using it much lately. I certainly had considered building one, but let's see.
What's the hardware you're running it on?
So the motherboard that I've got, I'm using a Gigabyte. What is it? A GAEX58. UD5.
That thing. That's awesome. Oh no, I mean, so you've got the system that you've built from components yourself, right?
Exactly.
All right. So you've cobbled together a Hackintosh OS to run on a piece of hardware that you've built yourself. The chances of us
this kernel task issue's been coming up on regular Macs too.
Has it?
But you've gone through. You might have said this and I didn't hear it. But you went through, like, generally with most of the Hackintoshes, there's a list of recommended hardware that you buy everything of so that it does work.
Yeah, and that's what I use. So there's this piece of there's a whole repository, I guess you'd say, called Cakewalk. When I joined up with using this Cakewalk software, it was pretty much somebody in a forum that was just sort of putting things together on one of the like insanely Mac forums or something, and now they've got a full-blown website where they take donations and have suggested rigs that are light, medium, and professional grade, so you can sort of tailor a rig to your budget. So if you're $500 to like $1,500,
right,
you can sort of tailor that. So I followed that guide, and it works really well. I mean, luckily, like I said, thanks to the internet, everyone else has done a ton of grunt work and, you know, blood, sweat, and tears, and I just kind of come in after the fact and scoop up the good bits of knowledge and put it together.
That's how the smart people do it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I at the time I was not very far out of college, so I didn't really have a whole lot of budget to really waste on experimenting too much. So I built it and it's been working really well. And I haven't noticed too many problems, but you know, when you've had a computer for a few years, you know, you just don't notice things. If I were to have sort of split the computer in two time-wise, had the newly built versus the one I'm using now, I might be able to see a definitive speed difference, you know. But right now it worries me. I see one of the processor cores at 100% a good chunk of the time, and it's a task that should be sitting at like 2-5%.
Are you okay on the command line?
I can work the command line. I'm not versed in it.
What you're seeing that the kernel task, that's kind of like the Mac OS 10 version of the Windows service host, the SVC host. So chances are it's going out of control either over network usage or probably over drivers. I'm assuming it's probably a driver
like
that you've
got. USB in particular.
Yeah, USB in particular. So there's, if you get on the command line, if you sudo su with the dash at the end, become root, you can use something called, it's a KEXT unload. And what you can do is you can actually go in and unload extensions, which are kind of drivers. They're KEXT files. And you can kill those off one by one and see what the violating one is. You know, when you kill... Now, sometimes you might kill a display driver. You might, you know, you might have to reboot. But eventually you're going to kill the one that's causing that that kernel task to spin wildly out of control.
Okay. Cool. Well, then so, I'll do that. I'll go
yeah,
through
Google,
and pull it up.
Google for, and there's, you can also use IOTOP, which is going to show you like input output. So it's kind of like a network top thing, but it's going to show you like what is actually using all that. So instead of just saying, okay, it's kernel task, you're saying, oh, kernel task, it's going to the network, or it's going to the video card. Like it's, you know, that's video cards chewing up everything, or hey, it's my sound card, or hey, it's this. That'll give you, that'll put you, point you in a direction.
Awesome.
And another
really
site to add to add your Hackintosh knowledge, you know, I haven't dealt with Cakewalk. The one that I prefer is TonyMacX86.com. They have a very thorough forum where people are, you know, there's a lot of traffic on it, a lot of people who can help with problems like that, and they have some alternative ways that are that might be even easier than Cakewalk to setting up your. Setting up your Hackintosh.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I just pulled it up. I see it. Thanks, man.
Okay, one last thing. This is kind of funky. Check to make sure that on that Core i7 you've got, that you've got thermal compound on there and that the chip's not getting too hot. Because for whatever reason, if the chip gets too hot, that process will actually try and unload cycles off the main processor to cool it down, mm-hmm. and you'll see your task kernel task bump up pretty high.
Yeah, you know, I had seen that when searching online, and there was someone offered a solution that sort of pulled out that bit of text that would cause that to happen, where it gets too hot, it would go through and just add in cycles just to make it spin up,
yeah,
to make
exactly.
the fan spin up. So I took that out, and I thought it might work, and
oh,
totally
no luck.
Didn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was just something I wouldn't think to take look at, you know, otherwise. But yeah, it sounds like you've done a fair amount of Googling on it. So,
yeah, I'm going bald over here, so I'll do the drivers and see if I can pull something out and have an aha moment.
All right, good luck.
All right, appreciate your call.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Oh boy, that takes it a whole new level, you know. When you know people call in sometimes when they've built their own computer and just trying to get Windows or something.
Well, what's
to run on.
Yeah. Well, what's even tougher with this is that you're throwing an operating system on hardware that it's really not supposed to be going on. So it's
right.
like, you know, Windows wants you to be able to put the Windows operating system on hardware. Apple doesn't really want you to be able to put the Apple operating system onto non-Apple.
Well, and you've got a bunch of people, you know, with Windows, the DLLs and all those kinds of things. People are doing that on different hardware and having their various problems and experiences. The Kext thing on Macs. You know, unless you're dealing with Hackintoshes, you pretty much don't ever come across a situation where you need to do anything with that. So it's totally hidden from a huge percentage of the Mac, you know, of the Mac user base, because they don't need to mess with it. Where on Windows, you did have to go into that kind of stuff. You did need to check. You need to see if there was a conflict or whatever, where Apple would resolve those conflicts. And so you didn't see it, but after dipping into Hackintosh's some, and then one of the things that was a problem is it brought along some of the Kexts from the Hackintoshes when I would transfer my profile to a new computer, and finally I had to just like do a clean setup so I could get rid of the kind of dead weight from that stuff, that because you couldn't see it or manage it. You had to go in at the command line to get rid of this stuff and know where it is and all that. It's kind of painful.
Yep. All right. 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with us tonight. We have plenty of open lines and a very enthusiastic phone screener. 713-526-KPFT. Groove House.
Yes.
Hi, Groove House.
Hi, Jake.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, you sure?
Yeah, I'm all right.
All right, I'm picking on you a little bit because, you
no,
know.
That's fun.
Don't you
part of the show.
Would you have a good time?
I'm having a great time.
All right, who do we have up next?
All right, up next on the show, we are going to speak with Seamus.
Seamus, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey there, Jay Lee. I'm your old colleague from back in the day on KPFT.
Seamus?
Yeah, that one.
That Seamus. Wow.
I've been listening to your show for years, even back before you had Technology Bites.
Yeah, you have.
I have. I filled in for you back in the day.
You did. I remember, sort of.
I sort of remember, too.
So how are things going?
Oh, good. I think you guys are doing a great job. I really do listen to your show quite a bit. And I still see the GM over there, Dwayne Bradley, every now and then. He lives in the neighborhood. And
aren't we Facebook friends?
We are Facebook friends. Yeah, we are. Yeah, I get your updates about the geek gatherings and stuff. I haven't made it out to one of them yet, but
you should come around.
Yeah, I should.
You're actually one of the old timers I really like.
What's that?
You're actually one of the old timers I really like.
We apologize to any old timers
that I still even know, really. I mean, at least that is on the air.
All right. Well, what's going on? What can we do for you tonight?
Okay. I'll just give it to you straight here.
Okay.
I bought an Asus small notebook, a 1015E, and to save a little money, as this was a gift, it came with the Ubuntu operating system.
Uh-huh.
And I was going to wipe that clean and probably put a Windows XP or something better or along those lines. I don't even know what Ubuntu is, but Asus doesn't seem to have that bad reputation, but I don't know anything about that operating system. I've looked at it a little bit since I got it. What do you guys think about that stuff?
Well, it's a Unix-based operating system. I'm trying to determine if the Asus came with that originally.
There was a more expensive one that had a Windows operating system on it, but I thought I could pull a favor with some people I know, not you guys, that might be able to install Windows on it for me.
Is it a netbook or is it a workstation?
It's like a little netbook.
I think it's more like a netbook, yeah.
Okay.
And so did you buy it brand new?
Actually, it's an Amazon warehouse deal where they, Amazon guarantees it, but it's something that happened to it along the way where it didn't come in its original box, but it's still guaranteed like a new one. So it's new, but it's been out of the box, and to me it looks perfect, and Ubuntu looks pretty cool too, except I'm just not familiar with it.
Right.
I didn't know if it was legitimately, considered something that someone could use.
It's a 1015E?
It's 1015E.
They shipped for, it's a sub-$300 model. They shipped for
they
a little
shipped
while
with Windows 8.
Ubuntu, and Ubuntu too, it looks like.
Yeah, so yeah, I don't think you'd have any problem getting Windows installed on it. You may struggle a little bit with the drivers. But you probably get those from the Asus website.
I like Ubuntu.
Huh?
I like Ubuntu.
Yeah.
Really?
What are you going to use it for?
It's actually for my wife. Believe it or not, someone married me, Jay.
Oh my God! Have you reproduced? Tell us now.
No.
Okay. Good.
I haven't done that far.
DEFCON 3. That's cool.
Right. Yeah, we're only at DEFCON 3. We're not at DEFCON.
Oh, that's kind of awesome. You know, I mean, I found a life partner as well. She's been with me for 20 years. It's kind of unimaginable.
Good job. Actually, next week will be my 14th wedding anniversary.
Wow.
And, you know, I was on KPFT for about 8 years. And I think you and maybe a couple of other people besides Dwayne are still on there. I mean, you're doing this show now as opposed to a music show. But there's something to be said for that. That's a good run.
Yeah, I didn't learn my lesson when I got my first show canceled. They seem to like me around here okay, you know, being on the radio for as long as I got to try to catch up to Ray Hill.
Yeah, I guess he's the senior
wiener, so.
Yeah.
Well, congrats on getting married. But yeah, you should be able to get Windows 8 on there, and if you're going to give it to your wife.
I am. Windows 8 or 8.1?
8.1. Yeah,
that's the one, right?
That's the latest, greatest, and looks like it's got it's only got 2 gigs of RAM, but it should run fine.
Oh, I'd be able to upgrade the memory a little bit, maybe.
I'm not sure if you could upgrade the memory on that model or not.
Oh, gotcha.
If you can, it's just going to be. I've had a couple of Asus thing. Yeah, it's just going to be probably even one little stick. A lot of times, it's just not one slot. It'll be underneath. It's pretty easy to access, but a lot of times I'll max it out just because it's.
If it's shipping with 2 gigs in Windows 8, that's kind of interesting. But you could probably even get one of your buddies to. You might even be able to get XP installed, although the drivers would get that. Would probably be where the real issues come in. What's your wife going to use it for?
Basic stuff. She does medical billing, so it's going to be just a lot of Word kind of documents.
Yeah.
Nothing sophisticated, not any kind of gaming or video watching. Maybe Netflix to stream a movie or something.
Okay, well, Windows would probably be your best option for all of that kind of stuff. So this thing doesn't have a disk drive, does it?
No, I actually would need one of those because the classes she's taking for advanced medical billing would, for some reason, I guess they're only on disk. So I guess I would buy a...
You could buy an external disk drive for it, or yeah. If you've got a computer with a disk drive, you could copy the disks over to a USB for this.
Oh, that's a good idea. How come I didn't think of that? That's why I called you guys.
See,
really, that never occurred to me that I would just copy the disk and she could have it on a flash drive because it's just all word-based kind of.
Yeah, if it's all documents and stuff, then just copy it off the disk onto a flash drive, and then she's not lugging around a clunky old disk drive to go with her laptop.
Oh, good job, Jay Lee.
Hey, I did something right.
You guys are knocking it out of the park.
Yeah. Bad
news. The RAM on that particular model is soldered to the motherboard. You can't upgrade it.
So 2 gig is it. But for what she's doing, it should run fine. Windows 8 has the benefit of being a little bit later. I mean, she won't be playing any Call of Duty on it or anything like that.
Nope, not at all. No. We're past our gaming stages.
At least on the computer.
But a boom. Hey, and you're still playing with the Flying Fish Sailors because I see that pop up every now and then.
Yeah, we're still playing. We're going to actually be doing a show at the Mucky Duck this Friday night at 9:30.
Look at you giving yourself a plug.
Yeah, I hardly ever do. Hey, for being a musician and having a show on KPFT, I've never played my own music.
No kidding.
And I've hardly ever even mentioned the band in 25 years that the band's been around. And the 25 years I've been on the air at KPFT.
Wow, that's amazing.
I know. I never promote myself. I never felt like that was appropriate. But you should come out on Friday night with your wife.
Yeah. I do.
Everybody should come out and meet Seamus.
I do some stuff that's in the public radio realm, but I mostly do it in Nashville you guys are probably familiar with Ira Glass.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did his first public appearance. I promoted his first public appearance there as the producer, and David Sedaris, his friend, done some shows with him. Nice. And I might be bringing, I'm trying not to go to Nashville to do stuff, so I might be bringing some stuff to Houston this year, but I'm not 100% sure what, so I won't.
Are you in Houston still, or are you in Nashville?
I'm in Houston. I just travel to Nashville to do the show.
Swing by the studio some night with Ira Glass.
Yeah, bring Ira by.
Let's get his take. Sedaris, too.
Or David Sedaris, or
Amy,
his sister
or David.
Amy.
Yeah.
Or bring Amy, his sister Amy. I'd like to bring Amy.
Everybody.
But, I'll keep you guys posted. Really, I'd send you an email blast over Facebook or something.
Yeah, well, it's good to hear from you, and it's good to know that you still got things moving and shaking.
And I hope I'll see you guys at one of those gatherings, but I have been listening to your show for years, and I've never called in. I never called in.
I'm just tickled that you called and to hear that, because I've always had a fondness for you. You've been really generous and kind to me over the years. I'm glad you got in touch.
Thank you for that advice, because that at least I'll be able to sound like I know what I'm talking about when I tell my wife what we're going to do with her computer.
And you'll also if it doesn't work, you'll have us to blame. So
yeah, that'll be my backup plan. It's not really my idea.
Look at this guy. Look at this profile pic on Facebook, for crying out loud. What did you expect? All right, Seamus.
All right, thank you very much. You guys have a good night.
Happy New Year. Thanks
Happy
talking
New
to
Year
you.
Guys. Bye. Bye.
Wow, that's a blast from the past. Yeah, we've been friends on Facebook, but we hardly ever interact at all. So I bet that's going to change now. All right, way to cough into your sleeve. Nice. All right, all the phone lines are empty now. That kind of like reunion bit there with Seamus.
Because you said that was the only old timey you liked. All the other old timey
stuff. I mean, there's some stuff in my past I don't want to think about too much, but he's not one of them, so that's nice.
Yeah, I was kind of amused when we were going out when Groovehouse said that we had that coming up was Barry and Seamus. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, Barry Technology Bites and Seamus. You guys didn't catch that one. I caught it.
Well, I caught it now.
Yep, now it's there. All right.
Pretty well put it out there, obvious, but yeah.
All right, 713-526-KPFT if you want to be on the air with Technology Bites. If you're out there and you've been listening for a while and you thought you'd like to call in but didn't have, you know, the nerve or anything to say or whatever, now's the time. So just chat here.
Yeah, if you're not a relative and you have your long-time old friend, then just call in.
I'm still trying to find that video thing, and I can't find it. I must be remembering the name wrong. None of my clever Googles are working either. 713-526-KPFT with Groovehouse in there in his black shirt and his knit cap and the headphones. He looks like he's, you know, just
robbing something.
Not with the headphones.
He just needs a big flashlight and he's good to go. A little mask. A little cat burglar mask.
No, I was thinking he's kind of got the DJ thing going there.
Oh, okay. But, Mission Impossible. There we go.
But apparently everybody's...
License and registration, please.
Everybody's going for the criminal. Groovehouse the stone cold criminal.
Cat burglar.
Come back with my cat!
Steal Dwight's cats.
Well, if you steal his cats, he might have nothing to do on a Wednesday night and he'd come back. So you could give... No, let him keep his cats.
Okay.
He could just keep them cats. Yeah, it's kind of been sad watching Dwight's social media since he got the cats because they're dominating a little bit. You know, it's like, oh, man.
Yep.
So should someone tell him? Is that like having spinach in your teeth? Like, hey, you got a lot of cats in your feed. You might want to take care of that.
No, he's... I didn't realize what a cat lover he was. But, yeah.
Hmm. You didn't notice by all the hairballs he coughed up around here?
No. I didn't notice it. All right, 713-526-5738 as Technology Bites plunges into the final half hour of the evening here on a Wednesday night. You know, just talking tech and getting our geek on. Trying to think if there's anything technology related.
What's the new year? Have we done, like, tech predictions or anything? Or has anyone made any silly tech predictions?
I predict there will be a thing called Mother.
Whoa! You were right. I bet phones get thinner and faster.
And more breakable.
And more breakable. I hope not, yeah.
And get curved. Stuff's going to get curved instead of flat. Yeah.
Well, TVs get ever so slightly thinner this year.
So you just got a new phone.
Fairly. The Nexus 5. I've had it for long enough.
Pretty
to put
sharp.
A little bitty scratch in it. I like it. It's one.
It feels good in the hand.
I'm a big fan of anything where the back doesn't feel plasticky and cheap.
Yeah, so
this
kind of nice
has that Kevlar-y kind of rubbery.
Thick
sort
of finish.
Like an old IBM ThinkPad kind of finish to it.
It's got nice transitions when you're moving through the screens and when you open stuff up.
It's pretty peppy. It's not the fastest Android phone out there, but, you know, for the price and the fact
that
you get it unlocked.
Save battery if you turn that haptic thing off.
Yeah, I like it.
Save battery, yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. And I've got the wireless charging stands at home and in the office.
Wow,
when I come in, I just toss it on the little stand and it just charges. So
I like the big screen.
Yeah, I would be hard pressed to get anything smaller. That's about. I can actually do emails on it. I can flip it over and have a full keyboard. Like, it's fairly functional. I wouldn't want to do more than a paragraph in email, but, you know, if I'm stuck somewhere, I will communicate through that.
Again,
IRC
stuff.
Clients, you know, so you can secure shell from it.
That's not bad.
And it's stock Android.
Yeah. Like, you got your Spotify. Not Spotify. What is that? That's
Shazam. Yeah.
He's got a little Shazam icon way off to the right. Like, don't notice me.
Barrett, you don't do a lot of voice to text with your phone?
No, because it doesn't really translate well. Like,
oh,
I have
like
to talk,
if you're using tech terms?
Yeah. Yeah. Or that I've got to really talk slowly, because apparently it doesn't like...
If his phone was doing talk to text, it would just be a text file full of expletives. Oh, crap.
It does. I do take advantage of Google voice transcription. So when I get voicemail messages, it transcribes it.
Oh, yeah.
And those pretty butchered. Sometimes I've like, what are you saying about my mom?
They are hilarious.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
What are we talking about?
This is so Google Voice, if someone calls in, they leave a message. About 10, 15 seconds later, you'll get texts with the transcription of the message, and some of them
a horribly inaccurate, sometimes disturbing transcription.
Some of them are pretty bad. Like, some of them, if they're just a little bit wrong, you're like, okay, that's obviously wrong. Some of them have been like grammatically correct, but it's actually, listen to it, that's not at all what they said. But
yeah, actually,
I'm like, whoa, did they just say that?
A month or two ago, I actually tweeted one because it was it was so inappropriate.
I found for just regular conversations, the text to the speech to text works pretty well on my phone. I like to use it when you don't want to swipe something.
When you steal something?
No. Swipe keyboard.
Right.
Swipe or no swipe.
713-526-5738 if you want to swipe some of our final minutes.
All our 8-year-old listeners will get that joke.
What do you know about 8-year-olds? Well, I guess you got one hanging around.
It's from Dora the Explorer.
Yeah. I don't watch that because it cuts into My Little Pony time. It's the year of the horse, brother. 713-526-KPFT. I see the phone is ringing. Groovehouse eyes are rolling. Jay's comments are trolling. So 713-526-5738. Got one call lining up for the queue. You got plenty of open lines and relatively good amount of time left in the program this evening if you want to be on the air with Technology Bites.
Yes, our topic is Dora the Explorer versus My Little Pony.
Oh, right. My Little Pony would kick Dora's ass. Yeah, what do you think, Groovehouse?
I want to hear a 35-year-old man calling and defend his Dora the Explorer obsession.
No, see, I have a feeling that somehow the bronies, as they call them, would probably find, what would you call a Dora the Explorer fan that was a weird middle-aged guy?
Don the
pedophile?
What? A pedophile?
Sorry.
A bro or...
What about?
A dork?
A doric.
A doric.
A doric. Yes. Dorics versus bronies. Fight! There was a mild
Yeah, we just lost a call with the brony comment. Thanks a lot.
Dude, what are you doing?
I prefer Dora the Explorer instead of Explorer.
Yeah, I always like the get-over version better.
All right, Groovehouse.
Yes.
Who do we have?
Up next on the show, we are going to speak with Walter.
Walter, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey there.
Hey.
I got a Mac problem.
Okay.
Running Disk Utility. It's operating system 10.6. What is that? Snow Leopard? I just don't know the names of the...
Hey, I don't have them all memorized either. I'd have to go online to look, but are you looking for...
I'm Googling. We could just normally turn to Dwight.
Pretty sure that's Snow Leopard.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's Snow Leopard.
Well, anyway, the problem is that the disk checks out with Disk Utility, but it's always finding problems with the permissions. And, you know, you run it, that fixes all these things, and if you run it again, you reboot and run it again, it still finds problems with permissions. What should I do? Should I reformat the drive? What should I do?
Well, I don't know that it's necessarily a problem. Are you experiencing issues with the PC not working properly?
Well, the only reason I went to look for that is we had a catastrophic problem with some lost tracks on GarageBand, and I thought, well, you know, that's sort of a permissions thing sometimes. So I went looking for it, and I found all this problems with the permissions. And I don't know that we're having the trouble with GarageBand now, but it's not annoying. It's worrisome if it keeps finding permission problems.
Well, if I don't know what causes permissions problems, did you find something?
Yeah, so I found an Apple knowledge base thing on there, and more or less there is a long, long list of disk utilities repair disk permission messages that you can safely ignore coming from Apple. So okay. More or less they're like, if you want to go to it, just go to Google for disk utility repair. Disk permissions ignore or something along those lines, And it's
that's
it's,
what I was going to say. I don't tend to run the disk utility unless I'm seeing a problem. And every time I run it, it always has to correct some kind of permissions issue.
And here's the thing, too. Most of these are warnings. So the difference, you know, they're showing developer stuff out there. So you've got a few different things. You've got a notice. And a notice is just like, hey, by the way, this is going on. And usually only developers or debugger stuff looks at this. The next thing is a warning. And warning is just like, hey, this could be an issue later on down the road. It doesn't actually affect anything. When you start getting errors or fatal errors, that's when you want to be, you know, pay attention. So it's kind of one of those things where they show you a bunch of warnings, but in any kind of software package, it generates warnings all the time. So
it's like one of those deals where if you go looking for trouble, you'll find
it. Yeah, it's like looking at like your network logs or something to see what's hitting your firewall. You're like, oh no, we're under attack, but that happens all the time, you know? Yeah. Or like, what's this SVC host in Windows? You know, like it's just there. People don't look for it usually.
This is just the first time I've seen it. I don't see it on my other Macs. This is a laptop that's doing it.
Well, it could be that there's, if you had a problem previously with some kind of software issue, it might be worthwhile to reinstall the OS and do a clean install and see if you can get a handle on it. I don't know that it's a sign that anything's going wrong, but certainly it could be. And the question would be whether or not it was a hardware issue or a software issue. So clean install the software would tell you that if you ran a scan and you started to see that happen again on a clean install, that could tell you that you're starting to have some disk issues.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll look for the ignore
site and see if the ones that you're seeing can kind of be safely ignored.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Good luck. Thanks.
All right.
All right. Bye. All right. 713-526-5738. Got one call in the queue, and I'm scared by the topic. So I don't know if it's going to last very long, but if you have a call in, I'm sure that this call will go quickly. 713-526-5738 to be on the air with Technology Bytes. You know you want to do it. Groovehouse.
Yes.
Who is it?
Up next, young Adrian.
Adrian.
Hi.
All
right, this will work.
You got something?
I just want to say that Dora the Explorer, I was just recently 8, and I hated Dora the Explorer.
There you go.
I already learned some Spanish words, and my brother takes Spanish, and so it's really, like, pretty easy to learn.
Really?
Yeah.
So Dora the Explorer didn't help you learn Spanish at all?
No.
Did it help you learn to explore?
You just found it boring?
Not really, because we love hiking everywhere, and we like swimming and all that stuff. We love doing activities everywhere.
So what do you enjoy watching?
What do I what?
What the what?
What TV shows do you like to watch instead of Dora?
I watch more of... like Disney Channel, and like I watch South Park and Family Guy.
Wow,
South Park!
And
really?
You were recently 8, and your parents let you watch?
No, I'm 9.
I know. Are you
9 now?
Have you moved out of your parents' house, or are they?
No.
Have you seen the last season of Breaking Bad?
Oh, hey.
No, my parents and my brother does.
Well, maybe when you get through, I think South Park's in reruns right now, so you might be able to get caught up on Breaking Bad.
What about Phineas and Ferb?
Yes.
Okay.
Phineas and Ferb. Which is funnier, Family Guy or South Park?
Probably Family Guy.
Who's your favorite character on Family Guy?
Probably Stewie.
Stewie, yeah. See, he's my favorite, too.
What about Futurama?
Futurama is really funny. I like Leela and Fry.
All right. Awesome. So you like The Simpsons, too?
Yes.
Yes, of course. Wow, you're an awesome kid.
Yeah, my parents tell me a lot about, my brother's always puts on those TV shows when I want to watch Disney, so I just have to watch it, and so then I get like, I really get into the TV shows, and I want to see more of them.
Have you gotten to go to Disneyland or Disney World yet?
Yes. Well, Disney World.
Disney World, did you like it?
Yes.
Did your parents surprise you, or did you know you were going to go?
Actually, twice they have surprised me. Once I went, I was on the school bus getting off, and then my parents were like, they took me in the car, and they're like, okay, we're going to go on a business trip for Dad. I'm like, ugh. And then they were just like, hey, look at this book. These are places we're going to go. And then it said Disney World on the cover, and I just screeched really loud.
Screeched really loud.
Awesome.
Awesome.
So what about Monster High?
Monster High, I'm kind of into it. I watched, like, one or two episodes of it. And I have...
What about, like the dolls and... What about the dolls and all the, like, makeup and all that stuff that...
I don't like the makeup, but I like the dolls.
Okay.
All right, what kind of computer do you use?
I don't really use a computer, but I use, like... I play games on phone.
Do you have a tablet?
No, I just have a phone.
What, you're 9 years old and you have a phone?
Yes, I have an iPhone 5.
Make that business.
You have an iPhone 5 and you're 9 years old.
Cool.
Do you have your own, so you have your own iTunes account or do you have your parents' iTunes account?
We all use like the same one.
Okay.
Kind of.
Have you gotten a credit card yet?
No.
You're not driving while you're talking to us, are you? You should pull over if you are.
Are you driving right now? If you're driving, Barrett says you need to pull over because we don't want to...
I'm not driving. My parents are driving. I would love to drive, though.
Well, that'll be next year when you turn 10.
Hopefully you'll... by the time you're old enough to drive, they'll still have human drivable cars. They won't be all, you know...
Yeah, by the time you get your license, they might have cars that drive themselves.
Google may control the roads.
I want a car that can... Like, fly.
Well,
a flying car.
When I was 9 years old, I wanted the same thing. And I thought they'd be here by now.
Although, but, realistically, at 9 years old, you kind of have a self-driving car. I mean, you kind of hop in there and the car goes. You're like, all right, let's go here. And it, you know.
Are you on your way home or where are y'all going?
Yeah, we're on our way home.
All
we
right.
We just came from an airport.
An airport or from an adventure? Did you go somewhere?
Hanging with Dora.
Now hanging with Cartman. All right, well, thanks for your call, Adrian. That was fantastic.
Thank you.
All right, have a good night. Bye-bye.
You too, bye.
Man, I want more nine... I mean, this sounds creepy, but I want more nine-year-olds to call. I know it sounds creepy, but that was like the most entertaining phone call that I can remember.
She's sharp.
And she was. She was on the ball.
Nine-year-old jet setter.
She was nine, but she had the mentality of like a 12-year-old.
That's what her favorite show was. I was in my head thinking, you know, like that she'd name a couple of like really obscure, anime, Bleach and Cowboy Bebop. And then she went actually farther than she went a whole different direction that was just as good.
No, I would have been going, Akira! Yes, that's right. If you're still listening, Adrian, get your parents to show you Akira. Get your some Japanese anime. If they're letting her watch, you know,
South Park,
that's a pretty open-minded family, I think. Or else they didn't know and they heard her on the phone and she's in big trouble. All right.
Some of that stuff, though, the kids, you know, kids watch it and they get what they get and other stuff just flies over their head. Like Futurama, I bet there's a lot of references that she's going to have the experience of watching them in about 10 years and is going to see a different show than she remembers.
That's kind of the way that worked with the Warner Brothers cartoons for me. Many levels.
You know whose cartoons are the best, though? Tex Avery. Tex Avery's cartoons are absolute best. I mean, the old Warner Brothers are good, but Tex Avery was top.
So Tex Avery was like Droopy.
Droopy Dog. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. His stuff was so brilliant because it had all that kind of like slapstick physical comedy stuff. But man, there was so much like above children's humor that is really, really clever. I really got into Tex Avery cartoons sometime after college. And I decided his stuff was brilliant.
Well, we were talking earlier about anniversaries. You realize if Bart Simpson had aged normally, that now he would be 34 years old.
Still living at home.
The Simpsons has been on that long.
Yeah. And
he would literally be 34 years old.
Don't have a cow, man.
Do the Bart man.
Be a very different show, I guess.
Kind of like the way that
they would have all grown up.
I got to say that, you know, as far as the way they chose, the route they chose with The Simpsons, that was good. I like the fact that, you know, when they reminisce about things that were new when the show was on, you know, so they start reminiscing about the 90s. They had that whole grunge rock episode where Homer was reminiscing about being hanging out with the grunge bands. All right, 713-526-5738. If you're clever and sharp and fast and humorous.
Still awake.
Still awake. On your way home from an airport. 713-526-KPFT. I'm tired too, so I'm glad this is kind of winded down. But
you want your Wednesdays back? Are you that tired?
Let's see how the show goes. I'll just take a few weeks off. See what happens there.
Womp, womp.
That's how everybody breathe a sigh of relief. Then you could actually say that the guy with the temper and the attitude.
Maybe Dwight will come back when you go to Iceland.
Yes. I think he might. I think he might come hang out while I'm on my trip to Iceland. But that won't be for a little while. 713-526-KPFT. I see Groovehouse is taking a call right now, and we'll look forward to that. 713-526-KPFT to be on the air with Technology Bites. If you're listening live, my Google searches have been useless. I have not found it. It's almost as if it's vanished from the internet, and it's only because I'm just not remembering exactly what it's called. And
what are you looking for?
Yeah, what is it exactly?
All right, as I recall, it was a YouTube channel called General Issue Joe, G.I. Joe, and it was really funny stuff done, you know, with voiceovers and stuff using the 12-inch G.I. Joe dolls from the 60s. And I have not been able to. It's got to be something. It's not General Issue Joe. I thought they had just taken the GI and spread it out and instead of doing the acronym. But
I googled GI Joe stop motion and got a lot of there's a whole festival.
There's a whole lot of that stuff out there,
and that may get you to theirs. I would assume
that's what I was thinking. It might do that too, but I didn't see it right away. There's a lot of like super gory G.I. Joe stop motion stuff apparently, so that's kind of unfortunate.
Some adult ones probably.
Yeah. I didn't know G.I. Joes were anatomically correct.
Well, there's a lot of you know stop motion films, but
was it nicely done? It was none of the low budget ones I'm seeing, right?
What is that? No, it's none of the low motion ones like that. No, it was really well done. With the sets were done nicely, and it was very funny.
How old is it, you think?
Oh, it's probably 3 or 4 years old tops. All right, I see we have some calls in the queue, Groovehouse.
Yes.
Who do we have up next?
All right, up next on the show, we are going to speak with Joe.
Joe, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
All right, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I've been trying to deal with a My Search virus. I'm running a Windows XP on an old PC. And when I try and open in the safe mode to try and do something about it, it goes to the right page where safe mode is listed, but my arrow keys won't operate. So is there any way I can get in safe mode where I can try and solve this problem on my own before I have to call y'all back again?
Well, so you're pressing F8 when the computer is booting up and you get to the menu that should allow you to choose safe mode.
Right.
But you can't actually choose safe mode at that point?
Right. The arrow keys won't respond. I've tried everything with an arrow on the keyboard, and the arrow keys will work when I'm on a page somewhere.
Are you trying?
Is it a wireless keyboard?
No.
It's wired. Okay. Yeah.
Are you trying to get into safe mode just to be able to run a cleaner on it, or?
Yeah. Oh, so it's weird because it's receiving the keyboard input enough to let you hit the F8 key, so it brings up the menu, but
right.
You're not able to.
It doesn't do that every time. I have a little problem with that, but.
Well, do you have a different keyboard you could try?
I could get one. No problem.
You might try a different keyboard just to see, but I don't get why it's not working. But you might also try booting up into normal mode. And running a cleaner against it. What tools are you trying to use to remove the virus?
Well, I've got other problems with that. Because I use Malwarebytes.
Uh-huh.
And it won't let me update. It keeps sending me a code to contact them with.
Oh, yeah.
My super anti-spyware is on the blink also. I can't get it to come up.
Right.
I've got AVG running, and it works fine, supposedly. But the other thing, I've tried to go to a restore point, and it limits me on what I can choose, and most of what I choose, when it does run through it, it'll come with a message that I can't restore to that date. And I have to pick another one.
Right. I would see if you can get your hands on another keyboard just so you can see if you can get into safe mode. And that might allow you to run your, you'd have to probably load up safe mode with networking so you could update your malware bytes and so forth. There's a great program you could try to, if you can get it on another computer and put it on a flash drive and move it over to this computer, called Combo Fix. Yeah, and you can get it from bleepingcomputer.com, and they also have a tutorial on how to use it. But it's a very effective tool for getting rid of some of these really bad viruses that maybe Malwarebytes and Super Anti-Spyware might miss.
Somebody on IRC suggested, which is a possibility, if you're using the cursor keys, are you using dedicated cursor keys, or are you using the cursor keys that are part of the number pad on the keyboard?
He said he used everything with an arrow on it.
I was going to say, because if
it's part of the number pad, but then too, it's a separate set of them off to the left of the number pad.
Because I say, if it's on the number pad, you make sure that numlock is
right
changed, because otherwise you won't see it probably, but it'll be entering numbers instead of using them as the directional arrows.
For the My Web Search toolbar, did you actually just try going into Add Remove Programs and taking it out normally?
Yes.
Okay.
And I took out one of them, but then, and I'll go into, internet options, and it keeps changing my, homepage.
He's probably got more than just that on there.
Well, there's probably more than,
he's probably got more than just my web searches. In fact, he's probably got.
Well, it is. Yeah. Cause I'll erase that and put my other page back in, and it'll stay on there, and then I'll load up again. And, it'll be correct for about 5 minutes, and I go back and check, and it's back there again.
Well, there's like everything I'm reading, it's kind of like a three-step removal process. You've got to take it out of the system, and then you've got to go take it out of the browsers, and then you've got to go wipe it out of your registry. Otherwise, it comes back.
Right. But I've been trying to do that, but I can't get into safe mode.
Yeah, I would try another keyboard to see if that would let you. I don't know why the arrow keys would work if you're in Windows, but they wouldn't work the other way. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense to me. So, I mean, you might have a hardware issue on top of everything else. How old is the PC?
11 years.
Okay. Have you ever reloaded everything since you?
Yeah. Yes, I've had it wiped 2 or 3 times.
Okay. Well, like I said, I would try using a different keyboard and see if that lets you get into safe mode, because it sounds like that's the course of action before wiping the entire system clean again.
Okay.
All right.
I've got your sights down. I appreciate the help.
All right. Well, good luck. Thanks for your call. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Groomhouse. Yes. Who do we have next?
Up next on the show, we're going to speak with Billy.
Billy, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Yes, I've got a general question because I don't have all the details on it.
Okay.
I'll just ask for your advice. I have a friend who had Comcast and had a wireless router plugged into it. Comcast came along and had him unplug it and said, all you have to do is plug it back in and it'll work. Well, it stopped working after they plugged it in, and they haven't been able to get it to work since. They got it to work for a couple of days by loading the software for the wireless router, and then it stopped working.
No, wait, let me get caught up. Are you talking about he's got his own wireless router connected to a Comcast modem, or he's got the Comcast?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, his own. I don't know what brand it is or anything.
Okay.
But he had it for about 5 years, and it had been working fine up until this incident with Comcast having them unplug it and then replug it.
Well, it's possible that, you know, if he was talking to Comcast because he was having connectivity issues and they had him unplug his router and plug it back in as a diagnostic tool, it's possible that the router had a problem before then and that when he rebooted it, the router couldn't come back to the broken point that it might have been the router all along.
Okay.
So if he cannot get the router to work now by... you know, the methods that he's tried, it's possible that the router has gone out.
Yeah.
And it said the router's about 5 years old.
Right.
It's also, is it possible that if Comcast was doing troubleshooting on it, that it may have been configured from years ago differently and they reconfigured it to the way they do it now. And so some settings are different because I know, like on mine, which is actually AT&T, I had to go and actually customize some settings in it to get it to work properly with AT&T, at least for the Houston area or whatever. And so it's possible that he may have had to do some custom settings in the past to get it to work with Comcast Network, and they've changed what they do, and so he may have to change some things, customizations in the router, to get it work with Comcast's new way of communicating.
Right. Well, they got it to work for a couple of days after it had the problem.
Well, how do you know that it's the router that's the issue?
I don't.
All right.
I don't
unfortunately,
know
this
issue is the router or the cable modem.
Right.
Or, is there a way to isolate that other than
the way that you could possibly isolate it would be to take the router away. Turn it off, disconnect it, and take the cable modem and connect it directly to the Ethernet port on a computer.
Okay.
But in order to do that and make that work, you have to turn off the computer, turn off the modem, connect the modem to the computer, then turn on the modem, and then turn on the computer. And if the computer gets online, then you know it's an issue with the router. If the computer does not get online or cannot get to the internet, then you know that the problem is with the internet connection.
Okay. Well, I'll suggest that then. I really appreciate your help.
All right. Well, thanks for your call. Have a good night.
Hey, you too. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, that signals the end of another show. I see a call somebody's dialing in on a weird line, but we are out of time. And that's okay.
You're out of touch.
Hopefully I'll go to sleep and I'll dream the name of that channel because I thought I had subscribed to it. It was actually for some reason it's killing me. All right,
you just dream about Dora the Explorer performed by stop motion G.I. Joes.
Scary.
And now I know, and knowing's half the battle.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in, everybody. Our first Dwight-free, mostly Dwight-free show.
If you want to see some really interesting stuff, go watch the G.I. Joe promo remakes. You can find them on Ebaum, E-B-A-U-M. But anyway, you can find them online, but those are crazy. It's like Drug Trip G.I. Joe promos from the 80s shows.
Drug Trip, man. All right. We're going to get out of here. There's more great programming coming your way, whether you're listening locally here or listening at one of the affiliates. So stick around. You never know what you'll hear. This has been another exciting episode of Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
And he's
Groovehouse.
Do you or someone you know own a local dining establishment? KPFT has a pledge drive coming up. And each drive, restaurants in the area feed our phone volunteers who give of their time to help KPFT reach its goals. Donations of food by these establishments are tax deductible and help community radio in the process. We also thank your establishment on air. Call 713-526-4000 for more information on how Houston Eateries can lend a helping hand to KPFT. Ideal locations will be close to downtown Houston and be able to provide meals for 12 hungry volunteers. Again, that's 713-526-4000 for more information. This is 90.1 Pacifica Radio, kpft.org, twitter.com/kpft, facebook.com/kpfthouston.
KPFT is supported in part by the West University Baha'i Community. A moment for reflection. Strive that your actions, day by day, may be beautiful prayers. Turn towards God and seek always to do that which is right and noble. For more information or to find your local community, visit www.bahai.us, BAHAI.US, or call 1-800-22-UNITE. You're tuned in to 90.1 KPFT Houston.
This is KPFT.